exile of most of the remaining citizens. The years passed. Cyrus persuades the king of Babylon to allow the people of Israel to return to their homeland. Many do, but many also stay behind. Some, like Nehemiah, have worked their way up in the Babylonian civil service and are prepared to live out their lives in a foreign land. Many of them have, in fact, been born there and know no other home. Then one day in the mid-5th century B.C., word is received from Jerusalem. The attempt to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem had ended in disaster. Artaxerxes needed to be persuaded to let the work go ahead. Who better than the king's trusted cupbearer, Nehemiah, to persuade the king of the righteous of the request? The king is persuaded, and Nehemiah becomes the leader that is needed. He assumes responsibility and takes initiative. God has called and equipped him. The people recognize his authority and follow him. The memoirs of Nehemiah are some of the earliest autobiography written by someone who was not a king. They are personal reminiscences of a leader in a national and religious crisis who has emerged not by birth and only secondarily by official appointment, but rather by assuming leadership as a challenge to be taken in the midst of the crisis itself. Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem. Opposition immediately arose from Jerusalem's neighbors, represented by Sanballat, a Samaritan, and Tobiah, an Ammonite. It displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. The mockery and derision began from the first day. What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore things? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? But the people had a mind to work. Threats of attack were met by the arming of the workers, and the wall rose steadily. Then, what had been mere mockery and threats took a more sinister turn. No longer did the opposition focus generally on the building of the walls or the workers. No, it focused where it could do most harm, on the leader. His persistent and scrupulous enemies proposed an apparently innocent private conference in a village some distance away. Nehemiah received it for what it obviously was, a trap to harm him or perhaps murder him. Nehemiah was a real leader. He faced the situation with insight, personal fearlessness, and responsibility for the people and the task at hand. "I am doing a great work," he said, "and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?" Again and again his enemies enticed him. When he refused, they tried to blackmail him, spreading rumor and innuendo of a Jewish revolt against Babylon, followed by an attempt to discredit him on the unlikely grounds of personal cowardice. Nehemiah remained resolute and undeterred. Keep in mind the theological significance of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem and the opposition by Nehemiah's enemies. That significance is to be found in the reordering and the reviewing of the community of faith and the securing of the people, body and soul. The opposition of Sanballat is significant as an attempt to subvert the work of God with and amongst his people. Satan's greatest purpose is to get us to stop doing what we know we should be doing. He uses all the tricks and subterfuges at his disposal: pride, fear, doubt, and discouragement. Each and all of us have at one time or another experienced the temptation to put down what we have been doing for the Lord and do something different. Most of the time it has led to disappointment, frustration, and chaos. We need to fight back. And Nehemiah has shown us how. Let's break in here and listen to Tommy Hunter sing, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?"
Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, by and by, there's a better home away in the sky, in the sky. I will stand by my window on a cold, cloudy day when I saw my hearse come rolling just to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. 'Cause there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Lord, I told that undertaker, please drive slow, for that body that you're hauling, Lord, I hate to see her go. Will the circle be unbroken? Bye bye, Lord, bye bye. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I'd follow close behind her. I tried to hold up and be brave, but I could not hide my sorrow when they laid her in her grave. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. 'Cause there's a better home in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord. In the sky. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home away in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Now will the circle be unbroken?
Returning now to our message, consider with me the strategy we might employ. I am doing a great work, Nehemiah said, and I cannot come down. This text is not just for church leaders who in every generation must rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and strengthen her gates. It is a text for all God's children who have a vocation and a will to serve in the kingdom. First, says Nehemiah, stick to the main purpose. I am doing a great work. This is the only thing that matters. Not what we feel like, not what others say, not the opinion of those who set the latest fashions in social or moral involvement, but to know what God wants you to do and then to adhere to that task with resolution and determination. This is what makes life significant. There will be plenty of temptation and personal aggravation. People will condemn you for taking such a narrow view of things. Relax, they will say. You're far too intense. Life is meant to be enjoyed. And so it is. But remaining faithful to one's known duty, remaining constant in one's purpose, does by no means automatically reduce one's sense of well-being and happiness. Are you happy? Individuals committed to looking after a burdensome dependent have been asked. Happy? I've never considered myself to be unhappy. What matters most is that what happiness I possess is being shared with my loved ones. There can be a sense of satisfaction that goes far beyond the mere titillation of our fancies. Or take the ministry, the one you and I share. Have you never felt like giving it all up? What has it accomplished, we often ask ourselves. The world doesn't seem to care. The church is confused and divided. Shouldn't we save our energy for something more worthwhile? For something more likely to achieve success? St. Paul knew what the temptations were likely to be. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, he wrote, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way through great endurance. For the great apostle, endurance is one of the necessary and triumphant words of the Christian life and ministry. You can, as a Christian, go nowhere without it. It refuses to allow one to fold one's hands and bow one's head and let a torrent of troubles sweep it away in passive resignation. Paul discovered that by keeping to the point, by focusing his ministry continually on what he had been called to do, that he could turn tragic experiences into triumphant ones. Woe to me, he wrote, if I preach not the gospel. Today is the day you should make your peace with God, he said. Or, even if his experiences were tragic, that didn't matter. The message was at least being heard. Peter and John likewise kept to the point. Condemned for their work, they replied, we cannot but speak of what we have heard and seen. And this the apostles learned from Jesus, who, despite what lay before him, resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem. Second, don't overstate your position or your problem. Nehemiah's response to his critics was terse and to the point. He said enough without saying too much. I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. In defending our work or justifying our positions in a debate, we often overstate our case. We claim to know more than we do. We claim to be doing more than we can, and our position is thereby weakened. Or the opposition becomes inflamed, and our situation becomes more embattled. Jesus answered not a word to his critics in his last few hours, and by their words and deeds they condemned themselves. Karl Barth, the great Swiss theologian of the last century, advised those who spoke for the faith, don't argue, just keep repeating the good news of Jesus Christ as faithfully and accurately as you know how. And don't overstate your problems. Columbus, day after day, during his long and perilous voyage to the New World, entered in his logbook, this day we sailed on. Nehemiah could have been in trouble, with Sanballat doing his best to halt the work of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. But he would have been in worse trouble had he acknowledged to his people the very real danger in the midst of which they were working. His workers might well have fled in panic, and the work never finished. And had Nehemiah shown any fear to his enemies, they might have redoubled their efforts on the assumption that he was ready to give up. But Nehemiah gave his enemies no such satisfaction, and he gave no indication to his people that his own life was in danger. And so the work went on. Third, wait the situation out. Four times his enemies sent for Nehemiah. Four times he answered them in the same manner. Patient endurance is a mark of the man or woman of God. Remember, when you are being hard-pressed, this too shall pass. Consider Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. With Moscow burned before him and his supplies fast running out, Napoleon began his long retreat to Paris. He summoned the bravest of his officers, Marshal Ney, and gave him command of the rear guard. You are to keep the Russians back from the main body of my army. You are to be the breakwater between us and the deluge. You are to block their advance at any price till I extricate my men from this trap of death and get them home to France. Marshal Ney promised. Grimly, his troops held off the Russian onslaught. They endured indescribable things from wounds and frost and famine. Slowly, Napoleon's army, itself suffering dreadfully, pulled ahead and made its way home in relative safety. Much later, when some officers were playing cards in their quarters in Paris, the door opened and there stood before them an old, disheveled, bent figure, his body emaciated, his clothes tattered, his hands trembling, and lines of terrible suffering carved into his features. Who are you? They asked dubiously. Then one cried, I know you. You are Marshal Ney. Tell us, Marshal, for we have been wondering, where is the rear guard? And the old Marshal squared his bent shoulders as best he could and looked them in the face. Sirs, he said, I am the rear guard, and it was a fact. He alone had seen it through. Consider, secondly, the strength we are to utilize. Nehemiah said, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. In facing criticism or cynicism, remember the resources that Nehemiah employed. Strategy is important. So are the resources available to the children of God. As a child of God, remember that you are never alone. When you take up a task for the Lord, He does not leave you to your own resources. He accompanies you. He provides you with ongoing encouragement. His presence is real and effective. When Nehemiah broke the news of the great work that was to be undertaken to the priests and nobles, to the officials and the workers, he appealed for their support and commitment to the task on three grounds. You see the trouble we are in? In other words, we are open to attack. Our defenses are useless with the wall down. Nehemiah appeals to their sense of safety. Next, let us build the wall that we may no longer suffer disgrace. He appeals, secondly, to their sense of pride. Then, I told them of the hand of my God, which had been upon me for good. Nehemiah appeals, thirdly, to their sense of the divine. It was then that they said, let us rise up and build. And they strengthened their hands for the good work. When his enemies mocked him and accused him of rebellion, Nehemiah again appealed to the presence of God. The God of heaven, he said, will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. And under great pressure from Sanballat and his cronies, Nehemiah seeks out the Lord in prayer. O God, strengthen thou my hands. And so too, we, you and I, may appeal to God, for he has promised that he would never leave nor forsake us. Let us be mindful of God. Second, we walk not in our own strength. The trainer of a prize fighter was asked, what is the difference between a good fighter and a great one? He replied, when the going gets tough, a great one lasts 5 minutes longer. When Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, was given the authority to rebuild Jerusalem after the exile, he was also given the means. My spirit abides among you. Fear not, said God. Whether or not Zerubbabel ever walked in the power, we do not know. He is not heard of again, but the power is available. Jesus said, I will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The power of the indwelling Spirit of God is ours for the receiving. Third, we may live confidently in the love of Christ. In Lew Wallace's novel, Arius, a Roman, speaks to Ben-Hur about his excellent rowing ability while only a boy. Asked how he could bear the hard work without breaking, Ben-Hur replies, the noble Arius forgets that the spirit has much to do with endurance. By its help, the weak sometimes thrive when the strong perish. When we live in the love of Christ and live there constantly, our spirits take on a new resilience. Finally, consider this, the surprise we will enjoy. I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Paul would have understood this spirit and its inevitable outcome. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, Paul wrote, for in due season we shall reap. In fact, the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt in the remarkable time of only 52 days, and with the physical security came other blessings. The people were taught. Obedient to God's purpose in one thing, they became teachable. The scriptures were read and interpreted to them, and they understood. Sensitive to the will of God, they were aware of their shortcomings. But God honors a repentant spirit, and their hearts were stirred. They learned because they were teachable that the joy of the Lord was their strength. The people recommitted themselves. The great public prayer of Ezra led the people to repentance and thus to a revival of the covenant, which was the raison d'etre of their existence. The people were renewed. Each received a task to perform. The wall was dedicated, and Israel was purified of the influence of foreign gods. And so the work of Nehemiah was effective. but it was because he stuck to his guns and persisted in his task, utilizing the means of grace available to him, that he accomplished so much. Therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, help us to stick to the work of being faithful Christians. We want to serve you. We want to keep faithful. We want to serve you in every way. Help us to remain constant in our faith and in the living out of our faith. Give us the fortitude to stick to our guns. Amen. Don't forget to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with integrity and compassion. I want to thank you for your support, both in prayer and with financial assistance. If you can help financially, please send a check made out and addressed to Dominion Chalmers Church, 355 Cooper Street, Ottawa, Ontario, K2P OG8. Mark it Good News Broadcast. Our good friends at the church will send you a receipt and make sure your contribution gets to this radio station. Thanks so much. Now, to conclude our program, here are the messengers singing, "I Came Here to Stay." May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding and accompanying love.
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm gonna try to get up, cause it inside up to play.
It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game.
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
The giant had marched for 40 days, crying, "Send me a man to fight." Israelites said, "I've got a brave heart, but my feet are full of fright." Then a boy with a sling and a pocket full of rocks that knew how to trust and pray said, "If you're gonna run, Goliath, you better go now, cause I came here to stay."
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm gonna try to get up, cause it inside up to play.
It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game.
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
Now the creed had been signed by the hand of the king, but Daniel still talked to the Lord.
The hungry lions were pacing the den.
Here comes supper, one roared.
But if you'd have been around anywhere close, you'd have heard Daniel say,
"If you're talking about me,
forget it, boys, cause I came here to stay."
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm gonna try to get up, cause it inside up to play.
It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game.
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
Now the boys wouldn't bow, so the king got mad and he said, "Turn the furnace up high. Let's tie them up and we'll throw them in. These Hebrew boys are gonna fry." So a little while later he looked in the flame and he heard Shadrach say,
"Pull up a chair, boys, and warm your hands,
cause we came here to stay."
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm gonna try to get up, cause it didn't start up to play.
It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game.
Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
So,
run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.